The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
My good afternoon. Man in Line's on till one today, and the floor is yours because we're open line. Three bank holidays to 2026. Three bank holidays. Next Monday, August bank holiday, Christmas Day and Boxing Day, and it's going to be 2026. It's racing away, isn't it? Thank you, 600 yesterday. We were talking about coal tar yesterday and where it came from. Big lump of coal tar that's knocking around, and somebody mentioned after the show, got a message saying you were talking about town gas. What was town gas? Well, it was the bit that they used to basically, when gas was used for lighting and heating, it was done by heating coal in special ovens. They used to cook the coal and then it would come out as coke, and also they got gas off it as well, but it left byproducts called coal tar. And then there was a message from 600 that said, Andy, I've used coal tar soap for years. Am I doomed? No. Billy Wright and Joy Beverly are no longer with us, but I don't think it was the coal, Wright's coal tar soap finished them off. Anyway, smells lovely, doesn't it, coal tar? So it's one of those things you either love it or you can't bear it. We're still waiting for the Benbury. There's a big crowd on Douglas Head ready to cheer the Benbury in and today's papers. And Sue's with us first today. Hi, Sue.
Hi, Andy. I rang in last week about the lack of sailings to and from Ireland after the end of August, and I just wanted to do a follow-up on that. I contacted the Steam Packet and two of their departments, the Customer Experience team and the Isle of Man Reservations team, came back to me. They were both saying, really, quite bluntly, that the routes are not financially sustainable beyond the routes that they're already running, and that those routes are subsidised by the Haitian and Liverpool routes. They've said that they've put out quite an extensive press and digital format advertising campaign. A six-figure sum is all that they quoted. And one of the departments, the reservations team, say that the numbers for the sailings continue to be disappointing.
Is this for Dublin or Belfast or both?
It's both, yeah. The customer experience team came back and said that because of the withdrawal of flights to and from Belfast and Dublin, that they did put and more advertising in April and May for the sailings, and they put out more sailings above and beyond the actual agreed numbers of sailings, and they're saying that because of the increased advertising that they did for that period, they have had good results and that they are encouraged by the results of that. So one of their departments is saying it's disappointing, and the other one is saying that they're encouraged by results because they have put in extra work.
But you would think, Sue, I mean, this is not an immediate win, is it? I mean, things like routes take a while to grow, don't they?
Exactly. And they've got to be just about guaranteed. I mean, everybody knows that we have bad weather and that in really bad weather, the boats aren't going to sail. But, I mean, you just have to take yesterday as an example of three of the boats not sailing. So people aren't going to feel confident. So the Steam Packet really needs to work on increasing the confidence. I mean, I was told yesterday of a lady who, I don't know whether she contacted your show, I didn't hear all of it, but she'd said that as she was travelling to Haitham on Tuesday, she was rung, or she was contacted, sent a text message by the Steam Packet to say the boat wasn't sailing. And that she was coming over here for a holiday, and that she was meeting up with other people who had all booked the boat and were going to the same accommodation with her, but they'd all booked the boat separately. She was the only one who got notification. And the steam packet did offer them another sailing, but it wasn't until the following Saturday.
Yeah.
And some of the party were going back home on the Monday. So, of course, they've all said, well, no, there's no point. The holiday's not lasting long enough. So what happened yesterday with the three boats, yes, it's unusual that all three are out of action. But that, for that person, has ruined their holiday that they've been planning for over a year. You know, and it's that lack of confidence. The steam packet needs to work on the confidence level. And once the confidence level is up and running, then people, more people coming from Ireland may come.
As you say,
then they would feel.
Yeah, as you say, Sue, the thing is that we're used to it. We know that, you know, if it's inclement weather, and we know sometimes that boats break down, not that often, but they do, and we shrug our shoulders. It's just one of the things you get used to living on an island. But lots of people who are across simply don't understand that. They don't get that mentality. If something doesn't happen, they moan, and you risk looking a bit Mickey Mouse if you don't handle it properly.
Yeah, but I mean, with the Manxman, why have we got so used to it? Why are we shrugging our shoulders and saying, okay, it happens? I mean, since we've had that Manxman, I can't remember when it came into service, but all that we seem to hear on quite a regular basis is, it's not running because it's broken down. It's not running, it can't do the weather. It's not running, it can't dock. It's not running. It's just one thing after another with that new boat. So if it's a mechanical issue, I hope that it is within some sort of warranty period, and I hope our government is turning around to the people who built it, saying, this is rubbish, it's not working, it's breaking down all the time. Yeah. We want something done about this.
The thing about running, and of course, remember, Manxman can't go to Dublin because they won't accept her because of the way that they've got the evacuation, the chutes or what have you. So apparently that's an EU regulation. So they have to send the fast craft. Now, the fast craft runs on high-grade marine diesel. It's very expensive fuel. It costs a lot of money to run it at 35 knots. So, I mean, it was much cheaper to send the Ben McCree. It's much cheaper to send the Ben McCree anywhere because she uses low-grade marine stuff. So, the other thing at the back of this is the Mananan, the Firecraft, is as old as the Ben McCree. She was an American military vessel. She was in the in the Gulf War. So they're budgeting for a new vessel, and it may not be a fast craft. It may be a smaller version of the Manxman. But at least that should be able to get into Dublin and Belfast and not cost as much to run.
But as you say, Andy, we've still got the Ben McCree. So while the Ben McCree isn't covering for a broken down Manxman, then, excuse me, why aren't they using the Ben McCree to try extra services to Ireland? As I've said, currently it's not financially sustainable, but if they're going to put extra advertising campaigns into it and they're getting good results from that, then why not do that? Why not try it for a while? They've said that they're all loss-making, so make a loss. If you're used to making a loss within your business, then make a loss and see if you can build on it.
Well, maybe that's something they should ask the public, bearing in mind that the Treasury is the main shareholder, and to grow a market. Anybody in retail will tell you sometimes you use loss leaders. You do that so that you will grow the market. And maybe they're just a bit risk averse and they just don't want to take the chance.
Well, I mean, if you look at it, Andy, there are about 7 million people living in Ireland. And if they can't get a decent percentage of them coming across here through incentives and things like that, then they're not going to get anybody. All that we're relying on at the moment is the people that come from all over the world to come mainly to the TT and the Manx Grand Prix. And that's what they're all relying on all the time. And they want to stop relying on that and build the other tourist sectors of the island.
I'll be honest with you, Sue. Every time I've gone to Dublin, and I've been to pop concerts and this, that and the other, whenever you mention the Isle of Man, they smile, they beam at you. because the Isle of Man is so well thought of. Maybe it's historic because so many kids came over here in the 50s and 60s or what have you, and people listened to Radio TT and this, that and the other. So surely we're pushing an open door in the Republic.
I think we're pushing an open door anywhere, Andy. I mean, if you think about it, we've just got a new resident on this island in the form of the wonderful Noel Edmonds. He has an Instagram account and he is constantly posting little videos on his Instagram account that is promoting the Isle of Man 1,000,000%. He did one in Morag Park the other day in the sunshine, and he's saying how clean it is, how happy the people are, that there's a play area for children, there's a cafe, there's Crown Green Bowls, there's there's the pedalos, there's the boats and everything, and that is just Morag Park. And this man is absolutely beamingly, he says at the end of it, I am just blown away, because he has seen how beautiful just that one little tiny area on our island is. Now, the rest of our island is a wonderful place. The scenery is amazing. The residents are absolutely wonderful, the majority of them anyhow. And we are a gorgeous little island. And if when you mention them, like you say, when you mention the Isle of Man to people and they all go, oh, yeah, I'd love to go there, or, oh, yeah, I've been there, want to go back, because the majority of people do. They love it here. They absolutely adore it. When they come for a holiday, most people are absolutely gripped by the place and they want to come back, or they want to actually move here to live. You know, so... Yes, I mean, somebody's getting it wrong somewhere if their advertising campaigns aren't working.
Okay. All right, Sue, we appreciate it. And thanks for raising that subject today. Good to hear from you.
Okay, thanks a lot. So bye.
18 minutes past 12. Do you remember once upon a time we used to, well, the steam packet used to run TV commercials. And it has to be said, television advertising has never, I mean, I know we're in the radio advertising business, but television advertising has never been cheaper. You'll know that if you watch Sky and you occasionally see a Dandara advert pop up in the middle of that. It's geolocated to the IM postcode. So you can do all sorts of tactical advertising. We've got Noel Edmonds here. Do you think he'd do a TV commercial for? Well, he's doing TV commercials now. They're just on Instagram and TikTok and what have you. Have you seen them? Seen him in he loves the place. And luckily, as Sue said, he's got a big Instagram account. David's on now. Hi, David.
Hi, Randy. And our theme of commercial waste, or the civic amenity side, and hope Wilf is listening so he can either confirm it or deny it, really, is that the news item there where the asbestos was dumped at the civic amenity site up in the north, which is owned by government. Because remember I said the other day that all the other sites are owned by government. So we've got a direct interest there. But what are they doing bringing in commercial waste? The advert, the news item said that they weren't taking in commercial waste anymore because of the asbestos issue. Now, that to me, in my lifetime anyway, is an anti-competitive practice. And I've been on about it for years and years and years when government get involved in things, because the commercial people who have to pay the commercial rate, or the local authorities who get a dispensation, a different rate from central government to tip the tip for tipping charges, either at the energy from waste plant or Wright's Pit or wherever the other stuff goes to. And I just wondered, why are government-owned sites and run by local authorities taking in commercial waste when they're taking the bread and butter from commercial activity?
Well, I think reading between the lines, the articles, it's Sandra Cottam Shea, who's the deputy chair of Ramsey Commissioners. It sounds like somebody did this on the sly. It sounds like somebody, because she said they've got low staffing levels, and it was left in a skip by somebody. So it looks like somebody took a chance.
Yeah, but don't forget, the other thing she said too, we're not taking it commercial waste in at the moment.
Yeah.
So they're doing a commercial activity. So therefore, they are actually being creating an anti-competitive practice, because you or me, if we were in the waste business, couldn't compete against central government, can we? We can't compete against the big boys because they're getting a special rate. All the box-ticking exercises done by central government, and the we need to employ people, not giving local authorities a dispensation on the waste charges. That's my beef for that particular thing. So hopefully Wilf is listening. He'll come back on to me and say, we don't own the site. Central government own the site, but they operate it. So indirectly, the local authority is operating that, but taking in, and this is the bit that I don't like at all, is commercial waste. Why are they taking in commercial waste from the bread and butter from other private businesses around the island? All right.
Okay, good to hear from you. Thanks, David.
Bye-bye.
All right, it's 22 minutes past 12, and up pops Wilf. Hi, Wilf.
Hi, it's nothing to do with what he's what he's on about at the moment. This is what left over from yesterday. I was going to come on yesterday, but there wasn't room. It's just, well, I thought, an amusing tale about fly tipping. Now, there was an old fellow I knew many years ago. Well, not that long ago. He's not that long gone. But he had various different jobs, and one of the ones was he was working on the highway board. And there was reported that there was a mattress lying up on the side of the gooseneck on the grass. Now, nobody knew why it was put there. Was it dumped or whatever it was put there for? But it was there. And people were waiting for somebody to come and collect it or whatever, and that it would disappear. Anyway, it sat there for weeks, and it rained on it. So eventually the highway board, they said, you've got to get up there and shift that. Well, of course, they didn't want to do it because of a horrible old mattress, you see, and it was dirty, and now it's wet through. So anyway, these fellows went up, a bit of a gang went up with the lorry and things, and he said we had gloves on us and all the rest of it, and we got hold of it. And when we went to lift it up, of course, it was all ripped because it was all wet and horrible. But he said inside it, it was stuffed solid, he said, with white fibres.
White fibres?
White fibres. This is a long time ago, like. You remember the white fibres?
Oh, yeah, I do, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember them. The old man had loads of them. That's sort of the stuff with white fibres. Somebody took it up and dumped it, didn't know what was in it, and obviously lost a lot. I mean, if I would have been one of the highway board men, I tell you, I would have had a few of them.
Well, obviously they told everybody. They didn't keep it to themselves.
Well, they told me.
All right.
So, but it was a long time ago, you see, and it was a long time ago when he told me, and it was a long time previous to that that he went and done the job. You see, he was one of the ones that did the job. He didn't say he had any of the fibres, but. Right. I hope he did, you know.
Well, finders keepers.
Well, I would have thought so. I'd have took the whole mattress.
Right. All right. Thanks, Wilf.
Okay.
Good to hear from you. Well, there we are. Every cloud has a silver lining. Oh, talking of fly tipping, I've been sent loads of photos, including if you drive on up past Doncombe by King Edward, the old Housedrake tram station there, which is now looks shocking. It's got wire all over it to kind of fence it off. And there's the gates open down to the old Housedrake holiday camp. All sorts of rumours about that a famous boxer's bought that. Is it true? Or is he living somewhere else? The Housedrake holiday camp. Anyway, there's a fridge down there. If you look, there's a fridge. Somebody's lobbed a fridge down towards the old Housedrake holiday camp. And on the other side, there's an old septic tank that somebody's decided to put there. I mean, that's fly tipping on steroids, isn't it? Thanks for telling me all this. And also, I've also got some interesting photos from Thelma. Thank you, Thelma, on Douglas Promenade. The Irish venting posts along there used to have, I don't know whether you remember, but they used to have pretty kind of Victorian-style lamps, one on each side of the venting post, which has gone. They've got rid of them. But they've not bothered to paint the posts, so they're just rusty. And next to them, do you remember they used to be those almost Victorian-style lamp standards that had a little three legs of man, a Triskelion, in it? They've gone, and we've got new-style lamps with nothing on them at all, not in any way decorative. Take a look if you're on Douglas Promenade to the Irish venting post. I think they're DOI, but they've taken the lamps off, the pretty lamps off. They've gone, and nothing. Just rusty where the fitments used to be. And the lamp standards with the Triskelion on, they've gone, and the new ones haven't got anything on them. I'm sure the government can afford to pay geoengineers to make the weather beautiful for Tynwald Day. Well, you never know, do you? Thanks. Oh, and Hans Dieter. Thank you, Hans Dieter, one of my German contingent. I'm very proud of my German contingent. Emailed in from Darmstadt in Germany to say, I'm very happy they've taken the scaffolding down from outside Manx Radio. How does he know that? Because we've got the live webcam. And the live webcam that looks over Douglas Bay used to look through the scaffolding, and it's gone. We've got three live webcams, one at the back of the grandstand, one for the calf, and one for Douglas Bay. You can see our webcams, and let me tell you, they're very popular all over the world. About 15-odd webcams that you can look around the Isle of Man at manxradio.com. Thanks also to, this was from, it was regarding the electricity. It was Les. Thank you, Leslie, who just said, I heard what you were saying the other day about people with PVs, photovoltaic solar panels, selling electricity back to Manx Utilities at 9p per kilowatt hour. Presumably, Manx Utilities then resell that at 29p per kilowatt hour. So they're making 20p per kilowatt hour for being the monopoly and taking the electricity back. Do you think that's going to be included in their accounts in the future? Maybe they should make an app. There are so many apps nowadays, and anybody who's got a photovoltaic array, you can see how much your app, how much your solar panels are making for you and how much you're generating. Surely it would be interesting and illuminating, really, for Manx Utilities to have a live one for the Isle of Man. It's easily done. Just to see how much electricity has been generated by, let's say, Paul Rose or the energy from waste plant, when it is an energy from waste plant, and also how much they're making, how much they're bringing in from the photovoltaic panels. Bring us into the tent so that we can see exactly how much is being generated from people around the Isle of Man. And, of course, the profit that's being made on it from Manx Utilities. You buy it in at 9p, you charge it out at 29p. It seems that they want to charge for most items at the tips. All that's going to happen is that fly tipping will increase. £300 of our rate is for refuse now, says Alan. Alan, I don't know how we'd stop it. I don't know how we... Short of putting the rates up and making recycling free for everybody. But you see, most people adhere to the rules. Most people do pay to recycle. They will do that. It's just the people, the antisocial people, who will think it simply doesn't apply to them. And they can throw a fridge down towards the House Drake holiday camp, or a septic tank on the road opposite, or if somebody's doing up a house and they have a skip outside, everything gets thrown into that skip. So, what do we do about this? Because we certainly can't have an outbreak of fly tipping on the Isle of Man. As Sue said, we've got a beautiful place here. Most people pick up litter. Most people make sure that where they live, they trim the hedges and the bushes and the shrubs. Some people don't. Your man who said that coal tar, using coal tar soap for years, will they be okay? Yes, they will, because the carcinogens were removed in it in the 1980s, and town gas used water to produce the gas and was very wasteful of resources, says Simon. So, what are your options on the west side of Antarctic? I don't know, Simon. You tell me. What do we do? What of Visit Isle of Man doing about the boat's issues, says George. Is it anything to do with them? Well, we don't have a tourist board anymore. A tourist board or a department for tourism. Oh, by the way, welcome. The Ben McCree has just arrived. She's just sleeched into Douglas Harbour, is now spinning round, be going on astern onto the Linkspan. If you know anybody on the boat, take them some sandwiches down there. She'll be discharging the passengers in about 15-20 minutes' time. They must be absolutely worn out. Here's Eddie now. Hi, Eddie.
Yes, good day, Andy. Regarding fly tipping, now, are we looking at this from the wrong end of the telescope? Now, let me explain. If you want people not to fly tip, then there has to be an incentive somewhere for them not to do it. Having fines, as Bill Dale has said, that doesn't do it, because nobody's prosecuted. It takes such a long time to get things sorted out legally and everything. I'll give you an example of what I mean. I lived and worked in Norway for 15 years. Now, over there, one thing you will never see are abandoned vehicles at the side of the road left to rust and rot. Never. You won't see that. Now, why is that? Well, it's because when you buy a new car in Norway, on top of the price that you pay, you also pay an amount which is for the end of life of the car. In other words, the recycling.
Right.
Now, basically, what happens then, of course, is that money actually follows the car. It doesn't follow the owner. So the final owner, who ends up with the car and wants to dispose of it, can take it to an authorized vehicle dismantling place, give it to them, and they get the money back. And it's not an insignificant sum.
Right.
It's 2014 when I was there and I had to get rid of my car, and I got over £400 for it. Now, that's a clear incentive not to dispose of it on the side of the road.
Yeah.
Now, whether or not that could be applied to other items such as televisions and fridges and things like that, I'm not sure. I can see a few problems with that, but that's just one way of avoiding a particular problem.
Do you think it goes with the culture? Because the Scandinavians, and particularly Norway, I used to live in Norway years ago, they're very conscious of their environment, and they're very community oriented, aren't they? They look out for each other, and also they take a great deal of notice about the place they live in.
They do indeed, yes, and that's one thing you always notice when you go to a Scandinavian country, is just how clean it is. Yes, I think you're probably right that it is some sort of cultural thing that people have just...
We're the same. People on the Isle of Man take a great deal of notice of where they... I mean, the vast majority of people take great care of where they live. So that would seem to be logical here.
Yes, I'm not sure that... my wife's Manx, and I lived here in the 60s, 70s and 80s as well. There was a different culture then, I'm sure there was. So there was somebody who came on and was talking about politics and attitudes on the island now, and how, I like to say that we've been infected by the attitudes of the islands around us. Sorry to say.
Well, I think that's because lots and lots of people watch television news that comes from across. They see all the stuff that goes on and almost transpose it onto us.
Yes. I think I have a little saying that I meet people and say to them that everybody says they should do something or someone should do something. Well, As far as I'm concerned, they is us and the someone is you. So just basically get off your butt and go and do something, you know.
Okay. All right, Eddie. Appreciate it.
All right.
Thanks for calling today.
Thanks, Andy. Cheers.
24 minutes before one. Says Sue, 768, we don't shrug our shoulders about unreliable transport. I now go to the UK 2 days in advance if I'm travelling on from there. It used to be one day, but unreliable transport has got worse. So I have to spend more just to have a chance of getting off the Isle of Man in time. Makes me angry, and I'm sure other people do too. So I'm not shrugging. Point taken, Sue. It's a military exercise organising onward travel if you're heading to the UK. But the reliability, was it more reliable in the past? I go back to the time when I started sitting in this chair presenting Man in Line. It was October 1998, and we just had Ben McCree. Ben McCree just replaced the King Ori, and Manx Airlines was in full flow. And every day, people moaned about Manx Airlines. Every day, people moaned about the steam packet. Was it more reliable? Well, we had the Lady of Man, of course. Lady of Man used to go through anything, didn't she? I wonder. But it certainly is an issue if your particular travel plans are disrupted. It's very, very annoying. The gentleman who sent me the thing about Garth. Yes, we mentioned it yesterday, the thing about Garth, the dumping ground in Mackled for years, the man who picked up fly tipping rubbish and what have you and cut back grass and brambles and then was told by the commissioners not to do it. Thank you for that. I think you'll find that commercial waste at amenity centres is more expensive than in actual community waste sites, says Paul. The island has got main roads that are dangerous due to poor road markings. And if they could spend time and money putting these right, it will be good. Thank you. I can't see the pictures, 365, if you want to send them again or send them on a WhatsApp. You should see the overgrown hedges and filthy pavements, says 762. Outside Cummel Moor Care Home in Ramsey. That's government owned. Surely they should be setting an example and cleaning up outside Cummel Moor. And Gaz says the DOI has permitted some hedges to become so overgrown. Who knows what junk has been thrown inside some of those overgrown hedges? You just wonder, don't you? Walk down some residential roads and there'll be most hedges are cut properly, a few that aren't done that well, and then there's always one, isn't there, that's way out into the pavement. Right, text, email, call. Robert's with us now. Let's find Robert. Hi, Robert. Hello, Robert. We can't find Robert.
Hi, Liz. I see you've had your garage converted.
We're desperate for more room.
Yes, come through and have a look. John called Manx Property Conversions. We now have an extra bedroom, but it could be another reception room, kids' playroom or office. They also did our conservatory roof last year. We were so impressed, we got them back to convert the garage.
Wow, I need that. What's their number again?
Call MPC on 450500. That's 450500. Or find them on Facebook at Manx Property Conversions.
Spectrum Windows. If your house needs a new look and your windows let in rain, keep those cold breezes out and make it look like new again. Spectrum Windows, Spectrum Windows. Quality through and through. Great work guaranteed to you. Spectrum Windows, Spectrum Windows. Spectrum Windows.
Scrap metal coming out of your ears? Then there's only one place to call. Castaignes Scrap Metal, of course. Castaignes pay top prices for lead, brass, copper, aluminium and stainless steel, as well as ferrous metals, scrap vehicles, and they're even licensed to scrap lead acid batteries. Drop it off today or Castaignes can come and take it away. Castaignes Scrap Metal, Foxtel Road, call 801-337.
The latest edition of Manx Radio's Breath Mindfulness podcast with Karen Hardman is available now.
Release the need to do everything well. You were great today, you did enough.
Brought to you by the Good Health Store on Station Road in Port Erin.
Let's relax further and imagine a long stroll on a sandy, starlit beach.
Peaceful slumber and relaxation.
It's a balmy August night, and you are walking barefoot along the water's edge.
The latest in the Breath Mindfulness series with Karen Hardman, and available now at manxradio.com.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
19 minutes before one. Thank you, Julie. Dropped a note in 625. I won Manx Radio Coffee on Manx Radio Gold. I haven't got it yet. Somebody will be in touch with you, Julie, and enjoy the coffee. I'm sure it's very, very nice. Well, I know it's very, very nice because I've had a cup. You can't dump, dump rubble and asbestos tiles in Balladool at Ramsey, and the skip's fenced off and a member of the staff has to open the gate to let you in. If you've more than a few kilograms bags, you're charged. The only way they could have dumped asbestos in the burnable house or waste skip, it beggars belief, as they were probably just trying to save a tenner by ignoring the signs, says Derek. Well, that's my point, Derek. How do you stop somebody who's willing to break the rules, or perhaps waits until there's nobody on duty to do that? What do you do? 572, thank you. The state of Douglas Inner Harbour portrays a graveyard of wrecked yachts. Is this not another form of fly tipping in the harbour, which we're trying to maintain for not only the general public, but for the tourism? The DOI, who are responsible for the harbour, surely should be prosecuting the owners. There's still heaps more to do to clean up the place. There are some... Are they just knackered yachts, or are they just being repaired? What is it, then? If you're a Douglas Harbour owner, can you tell us? More and more vehicles will be abandoned at the side of the road simply because of the ANCR system that's been introduced on the Isle of Man. It only targets cars in use, not cars dumped, OANPR, dumped at the side of the road, which will never trigger an AMPR camera. Is that true? It's only useful if a vehicle is being used on the highway and not dumped at the side of the road. That man's got it right with his saying, but what he failed to mention was there's far too many people telling others what to do today, if you get my drift, says Gary. Are you telling me what to do, Gary? And a message in that just says, they put an outside deck and a separate bar in at the Ben, and the complaints disappeared. The Ben McCree is now in and discharging all those passengers. Regarding Garth, right, I must tell you that Garth commissioners are inviting residents to have their say on the Ørsted plans for the Moor Vannin offshore wind farm. There's a meeting next Tuesday, the 26th. The public meeting for Garth residents, Tuesday 26, starts at 7 o'clock at the Laxey Working Men's Institute. The wind farm proposals, say the commissioners, could affect all views along the Garth coastline from Port Lueg in Mackall down to Groudle Glen. So the commissioners want to give you, the community, a chance to share thoughts on both potential benefits and the possible impacts of the project. Now, the meeting's going to be chaired by the captain of the parish of Lonnon, Captain Stephen Carter. Both MHKs will be there. Daphne Kane and Andrew Smith will be in attendance. Ørsted won't be there. Ørsted say they're planning to hold their own consultation events later on. The meeting has been put together to clarify details of the proposals and give the commissioners the opportunity to listen to Garth residents, whether for the proposals or against, basically to let everybody have their say. The commissioners will then use the feedback from the meeting to inform their submission on the proposals to planning or to Comin, whichever's asked to assess the application. That's next Tuesday, 26, Laxey Working Men's Club, 7 o'clock, a public meeting on the Ørsted Moor Vannin proposals. And while you're there, by the way, you probably ask them, when they're finished on the wind farm, ask them about that new sewage treatment facilities at Garth and what's going to, because apparently there's a new progress on the planning application for the new regional treatment works in Garth, 5 years after the previous application was rejected by the planning committee. And you know what continues to be pumped raw into the sea. Here's Howard now. Hello, Howard.
Hello, Andy. I was listening and I've seen in the papers that the Douglas Town Council, or Douglas City Council, just to give them their new name, are going to apply the full rateable value to unoccupied properties.
Yeah, I saw that. Devon Watson was talking about that, wasn't he?
Well, he wants to take his rose-coloured glasses off, because on the promenade, just 2 or 3 doors up from Jack's, there's been an old hotel there, the marina, and up until not so very long ago, you could look through the top windows standing on the promenade and see out through the roof. It was, it's been boarded up, and it looks like a slum. There was a yellow notice pinned to it for a while, as though there was something going to get done, but this has been in a disgusting state for must be now 6 years or more. And then we go further along the promenade, and it is now pulled down, but it was the Mitre. And that was boarded up because the police used to use that as a training ground, both for them and their dogs.
Right.
But that was pulled down and is now just, well, a piece of wasteland. Then you move further along the promenade to where the larger hotels are, and there's one there that is completely boarded up, windows all painted black. Now, here's the town council. I keep calling them that. Here's the council. Are going to spend a serious amount of money on the grass area by the Queen's over that way. And if you're looking out to sea and just playing around on that grass, all look wonderful. Then you turn around and look across the promenade and there's this hotel. And this is what our visitors are seeing. That again has boarded up windows, painted black to give the appearance that you're looking into an unlit building, which is the old-fashioned way of doing it. And this has been like this for 18 months, 2 years maybe. So what are they going to do about these? Instead of spending millions and millions of pounds on putting fancy bits and pieces all around the town, make sure you do it in the legal form of tidy up what we already have. If you've got a tidy place, where they were on the Queen's Promenade, just for children to play on the grass instead of playing in the house, that's a pleasure. They're going to put a little stream running down there for the children to stand and look and listen to it, and they're going to waste a lot of money. So what that'll happen in the winter, I do not know. But let's get what we've got tidied up, straightened up, and make sure that they use legal means, the lawful means, and the most useful means to do so. Because that promenade is looking derelict now.
Well, you know, Howard, if you wander around Douglas, and we all know where they are, the houses that look like they come out of a horror film, the ones that are abandoned, whether it's a deceased estate or people have fallen out, whatever it is, and these things look like broken teeth. So,
they
So what do you think? I mean, is it the council's job or is it the government's job to do something about this?
Well, in lots of cases, the council are collecting the rates, reduced rates, and now they're talking about putting the rates up to the full amount.
Yeah.
So they're going to get an increased benefit on those rates. But those people, they may be, as you say, deceased. There was one for years on the end of Westview, just before you come to Prospect Terrace.
Yeah.
And that was boarded up, and there was a little bit of work done on it, and that was owned, I think, I stand to be corrected here, by one lady.
Yeah.
Now, whether she just left it in the semi-derelict, but it has been tidied up a little bit, but that's only one. You look around all the different places, and the government are not clear of this either, because they've got the Quarter Bridge down there. We got the Grand Prix on this week, and the Quarter Bridge is an icon. Then across the road is the old Nuke Cafe. It's not the tidiest of places. Vehicles dumped. And you got down on the bridge where Mulcrease used to be. They're going to shift all those vehicles. They're still there.
Yeah.
You know, all these things, if the council get up off their backside, drive round, and they have the bylaw officers who are supposed to look after this, report back to the office, who then will look at the officers, the senior officers, who will go to the council itself. But they don't. They don't seem to be joined up a method of working.
Yeah.
But those ones on the promenade is our jewel. And the stones are falling out of it. And you only have to say, have a look at the Marina Hotel, and that must be at least 6 years, semi-derelict. It's a slum. and now we're moving over onto what used to be the, in the old-fashioned way of saying things, the better end of the promenade, that big hotel, and it is a big hotel, boarded up and turning into a slum.
Okay. All right.
So it's about time, instead of spending a huge fortune on ego trips, get out there and get something done with what we've got and make the place look good again.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Howard.
Take care.
Good
to
hear from you. Thanks for that. I note that I was walking on the promenade this morning, says this correspondent, on 164, and overheard visitors, presumably from the cruise ship. It's the Oceana Vista. They had a map in their hand. They commented on how shabby Douglas Promenade looked, with rusty railings, weeds, and dog poo. I also heard this talking about them talking about the Horsham. And how lovely it was. Oh, the horse trams, sorry. Your spell check got it. Talking about the horse trams and how wonderful it was to experience that. Well, there's a big cruise liner, the big white cruise liner. If it looks familiar, by the way, it was built by the same people that built the Super Sea Cat. It was built by Fincantieri. The Oceana Vista is with us today, and lots of visitors coming off to enjoy the Isle of Man. Wonder what they think of it all. Jeff's on now. Hi, Jeff.
Hi, Andy. How are you?
Very well, thanks. What's on your mind?
A tongue-in-cheek invitation to either the minister or some senior officer of the DOI to enjoy a mobility scooter ride from the top end of Douglas to the bottom end of Douglas to show them how impossible it is to go from one place to another without risking life or limb, either falling over or being hit over by cars on the road because of the lack of dropped curbs around the town. And I had a fall yesterday. Fortunately, I was uninjured. I rely on a mobility scooter now to an unfortunate accident, and more people of my age are using them. And the problem is, somebody shouted at me yesterday, get off the road. Well, I had no choice because I couldn't get on the pavement. And I just thought, just as a throw-in, maybe a little bit cheeky, the £400,000 was to think about spending on some signs. Maybe they could spend some of that on improving access for wheelchair users, mothers in young prams, etc.
Where's the best bit? Where's the bit that gives you the least problems, Jeff?
They're all over. This is the best example I can give you is if you come over from Ballinard Road onto St Ninian's and you cross over on the crossing at traffic lights and you go down the road, you want to go down the left hand side of Ballinard Road.
Yeah.
So you get onto the pavement at St Ninian's, you go down the left-hand side of the road towards down Ballycorrid Road towards St Ninian's Road, and when you get to the junction of St Ninian's Road, there's no drop curb. So, and what you can offer, so then you have to take a left and drive ride whatever it is to find a drop curb where there's a driveway, but then you can't get back on. You can't get across the road.
Well, you would have thought somebody somewhere would have thought this through when they were putting them there.
Well, yeah, but it gets worse than that. I'll give you an example. Tremold Road yesterday, I came across the crossing at Bottom of Bray Hill, drove down the pavement to get to the Department of Home Affairs office, and there's a drop curb, so you can get off the curb. But on the other side of the road, there isn't a drop curb. So you have to go on a detour to try and find somewhere to get back on again. And people will notice there's more and more people like myself, elderly and infirm or infirmed, who are there's more and more of these scooters around. Now, we do want to be on roads. At least I don't want to be on a road. I'd rather be on a footpath or a safe pavement. Motors are very good. Don't get me wrong. Most motors are very good. You get the odd yesterday. Get out with a rather naughty word, but never mind. So it's just, I'd love to take somebody from the DOI around me so they can actually appreciate how difficult it is. And I'm not just talking about mobility scooters that I have. You see people, you know, pushing their elderly parents around, or infirm parents, or their disabled children around. And, the top curbs, some of them are like 3 inches, 4 inches high.
I would have thought that the moment they do some drop curbs and they put new pavements in here, there and everywhere, that they would somebody would sit in a mobility scooter and go round and see how it works. Surely they do that, wouldn't they?
One brief one. Port Erin, park in the disabled parking spot opposite the pub on the other side, Falcon's Nest.
Yeah.
Right. Cross over the road to go down the station road towards the beach. There's a drop curb which allows you to get onto the pavement on the left-hand side. You go to the bottom of the hill and the drop pavement stops. So you have to, and that's about 4 inches, 5 inches, you have to reverse all the way back up to get across. So then you've got to drive down the other side of the road on the road.
All right, Jeff, we appreciate it. Thanks for raising that today. Good to hear from you.
That's all right.
Cheers now. That's it for Man in Line today. Thanks to Chris on the phones. Thanks for your point of view. Answer phones on anytime you want. And we'll be back tomorrow, same time. WINT.